listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
Oklahoma City Thunder have fallen yet again. They are now trailing 3-1 to the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers a 111-98 win last night. RJ, outside of Fezzik, what the hell do we make of the OKC Thunder?
I got to tell you the truth. I think that you can be as drastic as almost humanly possible about being negative to OKC in the playoffs, and maybe you're not too drastic. This is a team with Westbrook at the helm specifically hasn't won a playoff series. And I also believe, though, that some of the reactions, and we got sound today from Colin Cowherd, some of the reactions are just plain wrong. They seem like, well, wait a minute, RJ, you're saying you can be super drastic. Yes, you can be drastic about something very specific. I think Colin is wrong about how big he's being drastic about. Let's hear what Colin said.
Westbrook's never been built for the postseason. There's three reasons why. A, Westbrook doesn't adapt. He's a human tornado. He's got one speed. Second thing is, playoff basketball is about coaching. Well, Westbrook's very, very difficult to coach. He's inflexible. His personality's inflexible. His game is inflexible. And number three is, he's volatile. He is now, without a doubt, a liability to the franchise. I can make an argument. He's one of the 10 worst contracts in sports.
Okay. I agree with him about the playoffs, and we'll talk about that in a second. But let me ask you this question. I think OKC would re-sign that Westbrook contract instantly. Let's say that they somehow, Westbrook looked at him and said, you know, guys, we're not going to, you know, we're not winning in the playoffs. If you want to let me out of this contract, I'll get out today. Lawyers are here. We'll write up the addendum right now. Why wouldn't OKC take that? Here's why. What's the alternative? If you're in one of the smallest markets and what you know you're going to get is a guy who is going to get, I don't know, top five attention in the NBA. I mean, it strikes me that if we use Colin's show, The Herd, in my opinion, the leading show in sports talk radio, as a gauge, it was LeBron 1. Who got talked about second most?
Probably Westbrook.
I think he may be. Now, listen, Jonas doesn't like Colin. Colin doesn't like Westbrook. I don't understand the chain of pain that goes on, but I do know that even on other shows, top five for sure, Westbrook. Now, objectively as, hey, I'm talking to the wife, Sally. Sally, you want to watch the OKC game if you live in Oklahoma City or you're a fan, or you're your son, hey, Bobby, let's watch this game. Where's OKC rank as top X teams just for quality of play? Certainly top 16, right? They made the playoffs legitimately. So they're in the top half of the league. I mean, listen, you look at the Minnesotas of the world. You look at Seattle. I mean, Seattle before, but if you look at Sacramento, I mean, some of these small markets, they don't make the playoffs year after year after year. Phoenix had a nice run. Now, how long are we moving on Phoenix? Just not even sniffing the playoffs. If you tell me in a market like OKC, we're going to be discussed on national radio a lot, we're going to make the playoffs seemingly every year, and it's going to be fun to root for our team because our star tries so hard, because we know Westbrook tries so hard, and he's fun to watch because he's one of the best players in the league. I get it. The ultimate goal is a title. Listen, I got to be honest with you. A lot of guys are married to ladies that wasn't their first choice. They went a long time saying, what about that one over? Oh, she said no. What about the, she said no. You said yes. let me think about it. Okay. I'm 37. All right. I mean, let's be honest. This is a world often of second choices, third choices. Collin's right. If your ultimate goal is to win a title, OKC probably doesn't have the foundation for that right now. But in every other metric, and Jonas, let me ask you if this makes sense. And again, how fun it is to root for your team. Your team being good, maybe not great, but good. To being discussed, being part of the conversation. OKC is doing so much better than the typical small market. Westbrook, though not ideal because of the playoff issues, is a player that a small market team is lucky to have. What do you think, Jonas?
I agree. I actually, and it compares a little bit to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals in the NFL. They have not won a Super Bowl, but they've made a lot of playoff appearances. And if you were to ask any NFL fan, would you rather go to the playoffs once, lose for 2-3 years like most teams do, and then maybe get back, or do what the Chiefs and the Bengals did for a short time every year that you would just put them in pen, they were going to the postseason. I think to be in the conversation, to be competitive, there's something to it.
Yeah, and I would make the case, and this could be a whole other segment, that structurally in the NFL, every team has a chance. It's about ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, what with the cap the way it is in the NFL, I think players and the fact that there's not a – the thing that changes the NBA is the max contract. There's 10, 12, 15 guys that could make a lot more than the max. You know, how much is Durant worth? Is he worth half of a salary cap? Maybe, but they got a capper on it. So now the question is, where am I going to have the best chance to win? That's why probably Durant went to Golden State. Where am I going to get the most profile? LeBron to L.A. What can fit some storyline? LeBron to Cleveland. There's all these, who's going to let, which team is going to let my buddies be on the plane so we can play craps late at night on that cross-country trip? So to me, one of those factors is the living experience in a city. Imagine being, you know, a 6'5" African American, or how tall is Westbrook?
6'3".
All right, so maybe with him not so much, but a lot of these NBA players are so tall, it's like you're just naturally gonna gawk at them. Someone like that walking around LA gets a quick glance, and then there's Al Pacino over there in Oklahoma City, not the same living experience. So many reasons I think in the NBA, once the contract is the same for all the superstars, that makes it hard for the small markets to win.
And I also think that and to your point where you said, if they could do it all over again, would they still sign Westbrook to that contract? 100% they would. You got to figure out where they were at that time. Durant had just burned them. They were looking at themselves as a small market team. If we can keep a superstar here, let's do it. I think the better question is, if they could go back in time when they had Harden, Westbrook, and Durant, who do they choose to keep then? Because I think if you were to ask them that now, they would say we'd probably deal Westbrook, seeing how he's progressed, and keep Harden.
Except Harden was the first. Remember, it wasn't Harden for Westbrook. It wasn't Harden for Durant. It was Harden for Ibaka. They kept Ibaka. The choice was for Ibaka back then.
Yeah, they felt it fit their team needs better.
Yeah, so I mean, but you bring up a great point, Jonas. OKC, in those drafts in which they took Durant, Westbrook, Harden, and they drafted Ibaka too,
yes,
right?
If yeah.
I recall, I would make the case, and maybe I'm wrong, and let's just see just off the cuff if we can find an alternative. Has any team drafted a better core in a 3 or 4 year period, in which at that player's prime, would OKC be the best team in history?
Yeah.
I mean, if we could just have a computer game that said you get any 5 year period of your drafting, and then you get the player in their prime in this computer game, who beats OKC?
The
Nobody.
Only team that comes close from a core standpoint is Golden State, because Thompson, Curry, Draymond Green were all drafted and they play well together. But from an elite...
But that doesn't compare to those four.
An individual standpoint, you can go back to all the great big threes and there was a trade or there was a signing or something attached to it. These were all homegrown drafted guys that they had at one time.
And I would make a major bet right now, Westbrook retires without OKC winning a title. So what it tells you is, if you're the GM, if you're the fan in OKC or any small NBA market, you can draft better than any team in history, and you probably still won't win a title. Mm. Because soon enough, one, two, or three of those guys are going to want to be out of there because they don't want to live in Oklahoma City when they can live anywhere they want. And because of that sad reality, uncompetitive reality, Westbrook at OKC. Just imagine if they traded him four quarters for a dollar, got four decent players back. How much would we be talking about OKC next year?
Not much.
About as much as Phoenix. I don't think the Phoenix Suns were mentioned on this show one time. So the over-under would be a half a mentions for Oklahoma City. Interesting stuff. I do agree, lastly, with Colin, that the way these seven-game series go, that your ability to be academic, attentive, nuanced with the changes in between games, it's another reason Westbrook not really suited for the playoffs. The main reason, and we've said it many times, he's so intense. You add the extra pressure of the playoffs, maybe it gets to be too much for him.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Dedicated listeners, remember last week, what drama when it came to Game of Thrones. I didn't want to do it. I'm not a huge fan of the show. I don't dislike this show. I don't judge those that do. There's this whole kind of, you like, you know, Sopranos, Game of Thrones. No, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Yeah, I watch some bad shows. So we ended up having a vote, a Twitter vote, to say, should we spend 1 minute a week doing Game of Thrones odds? It was 50-50 with thousands of votes. But by a few votes, the yes won. But that was a compromise. No discussion. No personal thoughts from Brad on which of the dragons, you know, he likes better or one's dead or whatever. Just the numbers, baby. And we've made a commitment. It's only going to be 1 minute a week. So not till we start, Brad, but you got the clock. Jonas, real quick.
I do have it on good authority, some inside information, that it was Brad's vote for yes that pushed it over the top to where we talked about it.
Is that true?
Yeah, that Brad voted yes, and that's why we were able to talk about it here on the show.
Wow. Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's start the music. So here's the question. Who sits on the Iron Throne? I don't know how to pronounce some of these people, so jump in, Jonas.
All right.
The leader right now, and he surged from number two, Jon Snow is the new leader, plus 275. The former leader, Bran Stark, now plus 450. So there's been a flip at the top. We got Sansa Stark, plus 500. Then we've got this fellow, Tyrannus Dargani. Is that how you say it?
It's a new dinosaur, actually. It's Tyrion Lannister.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's not Lannister.
Oh, Daenerys Targaryen.
Yes, it's Targaryen.
A woman. Seconds. She's a woman.
All right.
Yeah.
Miss Targaryen, plus 550. Then someone named Gentry, plus 650. We're going overtime here. The Night King, 12-1. What do you think, Jonas? It seems like a show you'd watch.
It is a good show. I got to be honest.
You like it?
Yeah, I'm not into the to the Warlords and Star Trek and Space Invaders that crap.
You're saying like the cool parts of it is what you like.
It's a really good show. Yeah, look, it's a little nerdy, but then you see some of the violent scenes and you go, all right, this is a little different.
That redeems it.
Yes.
The needless violence right. and incest is what redeems it for you.
Of course. Got to have a little bit of an edge. You know, it brings everybody together.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
All right, guys. Now, here you can take a solace with the following. We do about 200 minutes of radio a week. 199 has nothing to do with Game of Thrones.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Well, I'll tell you this, Brad. If you look at the numbers, Vegas, which has millions of dollars at stake, they say when a team's down 2-0, they play so much differently with so much more passion and so much better basketball than when they're down 3-0. When they're down 3-0, Vegas believes the team has given up. Give us the numbers to back it up.
Yeah, and first and foremost, teams down at home, down 3-0, have only covered since 1995 about 42% of the time.
Yeah, that's boring. So less than 50. Tell me how the market has changed. So let's use, for example, let's start with the Bucks game. The Bucks at Pistons, what was the line in game 3?
Bucks were a 9-point favorite.
Okay. Now, same Bucks team, same Pistons team. The only difference is now the Pistons are down 3-0. What's the line?
Milwaukee's now a 13-point favorite. 4-point difference.
So there's a 4-point adjustment. If we look back at the Celtics and the Pacers, in Game 3, the Celtics were what?
+3, yep.
A 3-point underdog. In Game 4, same teams, Celtics was 3.5. So it was like a 7 or 6.5-point swing. Unbelievable. So, and just to get to it, Rockets-Jazz, in Game 3, Rockets were +2, 2-point underdogs. Now they're a 3-point favorite. So Vegas is saying by upwards of 4, 5, 6 points, they downgrade the team that went from 0-2 in the series to 0-3. So unless there is a true lack of energy, effort, unless there is a sense of giving up with those 0-3 teams, then you can make a fortune betting on the 0-3 teams because it's the same team that was just giving points is getting, you know, points. But like you said, betting those teams with the O, you know, that could get swept has actually been less than 50%.
Yep.
So the adjustment hasn't even been enough. Bucks, Pistons, any other thoughts in that game?
Well, big road favorites, believe it or not, RJ, have been very profitable. Last 7 years in the NBA playoffs, if you're backing road favorites that are 7-point favorite or more, how about this? 19-2 against the spread, RJ.
Wow, that scares me so much because you're betting with Freddie Fanny Pack. 19-2 is crazy. So let's just say that one more time. You're favored by 7 or more on the road in the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
Last 21 times, 19-2 against the spread, 21-0 straight up. Wow, wow. I lean Bucks. I just don't want to lay all that lumber. But we've been right. The Bucks have really stretched their legs. Where a more veteran team gets up, they're not as worried about margin. Milwaukee's young. They're like they're running out in the like a horse running out in the field. It feels like they really got so much youth and energy. Milwaukee's not going to let up. So I would lean that way. Rockets, Jazz. I think the Rockets got their mind focused on wanting to get ready for Golden State, and they want to get this series over with. So I would lean Rockets, but once again, that's who the public's playing, and I hate being with Freddie. I'd rather watch Freddie eat his Twinkies.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.